Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light, save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light, won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
Your presence, Lord, with our arms.
Hallelujah. Spirit fall down on us. Greetings
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
We are so glad you are tuned in tonight. You are tuned in to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are praising God for his mercy and his
Amen.
Grace. He is awesome in all his ways.
Yes,
mighty
right.
are the works of his hand. Mighty are the works of his hand. We bless him. We give him all the praise, honor that's due to him. Because there's no God like our God. Hallelujah. We greet you in the mighty name of Jesus. We are Assistant Pastor of Life and World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, under the awesome leadership of Bishop Bruce Smith and Bishop Kevin Jones and Pastor Sequi Osler.
Amen.
We are so grateful for what God is doing in our midst.
Thank
God
you.
Is blessing us. He's teaching us how to avoid distraction.
Yeah.
Amen. And to be kingdom-minded. Amen, to have a kingdom focus. So we thank and praise God for everything he's doing, and we are glorifying God for what he's about to do tonight. I know there's got to be an awesome word that's going to come forth because the devil has been trying his best to stop us from moving on, but we are so grateful that God is going to give us the victory, and we have the victory already. Amen. We pray against every forces of the devil. We will not be distracted. We will continue to do his will and to let him have his will and way in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. We are light of the world. You are out of town. If you're not able to be with us, if you want to enjoy the Lord, God's
Amen.
Presence, you can live stream with us. Go to comingtothelight.org and live stream. Amen. And get some of these messages. I'm telling you, it will build you up. It will change your life. Amen. So we thank and praise God. We have services. If you're in the area, we have services at 8 a.m. every Sunday morning. Amen. Sunday school at 9:30, and then we have another worship service at 10:45. Come by and share with us. God is really moving in our behalf, and he's moving in our midst. He's working miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. We had Fresh Fire Friday on Friday night, and we know God really moved. Amen. In the name of Jesus, we thank God for everything he's doing with us.
Amen.
Our church is one of the drop points for the victims of the hurricane Dorian in the Bahamas. So please come out, support, bring some almost new clothing, whatever you can bring, and make sure bring some cash. Amen. And God will really bless you. We thank and praise God for my brother. I want to say thank God. Thank you all at Light of the World for all you guys have done for him. Amen. And his family, we thank God for you, and especially you. Amen. Tonight, we are going to be blessed with a man of God, with a powerful word of God. Amen. And we know that this is a great word because the devil's been trying to stop it since last week. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But he is defeated. Hallelujah. He is defeated. God is glorified and he is horrified. Amen. So we're going to ask Minister Jones to press one on his phone so we bring him live and so we can hear what God has given him to give to us.
Amen.
Amen. We have great expectation tonight. You are now live on the air.
Good afternoon, Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. How are you doing this evening?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great. We thank God for allowing us to come back together again this week. And like you said, it was a mishap last week through technical difficulties, but the word will still go forth this week. Amen.
Amen.
Before I get started, my queen, Sister Emily Jones, gonna give us a song of preparation, and then we'll get right into our word. Amen.
All right.
Awesome. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah
and hallelujah to you. And just a few bars of a little song. Okay. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King. In what you hear, and let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. We call him Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You. Wonderful.
Thank
you. Thank you, y'all, for that word of song for preparation for this word tonight. I would like to direct your attention to the Old Testament, Numbers, the 16th chapter, and I'm going to be reading out of the Message Bible because it is so plain what God has written in the Message Bible, so we won't have a hard time receiving the word because sometimes, you know, we read the King James Version. Other versions make it a little more plain, but this Message Bible, we've been using this at our church, and I see why that Bishop Jones had given it to us because, again, it's so plain. So we're going to get right into it. Numbers, the 16th chapter, starting the first verse, and we're going to read it down to the 14th. It's not a whole lot, but real quickly, and then we'll go into a word of prayer. Number 16, chapter 16, verse 1. Getting on his high horse one day, Korah, son of Izhar, and the son of Hophni, the son of Levi, along with a few Reubenites, Dothan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and On, and the son of Pelah, rebelled against Moses. He had with him 250 leaders of the congregation of Israel, pertinent men with positions in the council. They came as a group and confronted Moses and Aaron, saying, "You're overstepping yourself. This entire community is holy, and God is in their midst. So why do you act like you're running the whole show?" On hearing this, Moses threw himself down on the ground, face down, and then he asked to come up and said to the gang, "In the morning, God will make clear who is on his side, who is holy. God will take his stand with the one he chooses. Now, Korah, here's and what I want you and your gang to do tomorrow: take censers in the presence of God, put fire in them, and then incense. Then you'll see who is holy. See who God chooses. Son of Levi, you overstepped yourself." Moses continued with Korah, "Listen, well now, son of Levi, isn't it enough for you that God of Israel has led you out of the congregation of Israel to bring you near him to serve in the ministry of the dwelling of God and to stand before the congregation to minister to them? He has brought you and all your brothers Levites into the inner circle, and now you are gasping for the priesthood." Hello.
Continue.
Okay. Did you get me?
Yeah. Just do the last 12 and 14 verse.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I got cut off. And verse 12. And Moses then ordered Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, to appear, but they said, "We're not coming. Isn't it enough that you yanked us out of the land of milk and honey, and to kill us in the wilderness, and now you're keeping trying to boss us around? Face it, you're having produced.
You have brought us into a land of milk and honey, and you have given us the promised inheritance of the fields and vineyards. You have poked our eyes out to keep us from seeing what's going on. Forget it, we're not coming.
Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you tonight. Lord, thanking you for allowing us to bring forth this word. Lord, we ask you, God, that you would use me as a yielding vessel, Lord, to speak a word to your people, God, that they will get an understanding, a revelation, and impartation of your word. Father, we thank you right now for this day that you have blessed us. Lord, we thank you for allowing to use the Butterfields to set up this podcast, Lord, and you blessing them to go forth in this word. Lord, we ask you to bless every listener who took time out to hear your word tonight, God. Send them a special blessing. God, we always give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'd like to use for a title, Follow the Anointed and Not the Self-Appointed.
Oh.
Follow the Anointed and Not the Self-Appointed. If I had to use
right.
a subtitle, I would use Beware of Instigators. two definitions right quick. Anointed means to authorize or set apart a person for kingdom work or for God's business. Instigator is a person who spreads discord with a group within a group or someone who deliberately foments trouble. Foments means to encourage a person to be angry or have angry feelings or to protest or fight. And if you look at these scriptures, you will see that Moses was anointed to do God's business. And you will know that Korah and his two and other co-conspirators was the instigators and the self-appointed. So Korah is the great-grandson of Levi and the first cousin of Aaron and Moses. Now, Korah started a rebellion against Moses because he thought he was a prince over the Canaanites. And however, Moses gave that position to Ephraim. And Korah thought he was going to be the man in charge. But when he felt that he was overlooked and was not appointed, he became an instigator. And see, isn't that just like family? Every time you go to a family reunion, you run into those crazy cousins and drunken uncles and them gossiping aunts. And every time you get together, they always start in trouble. And I believe Moses felt the same way when he got into the gathering of the family of Israel and the Israelites. Every time they came together, trouble seems to find a way in. See, if you are not content with what you have and try to get more than you need, sometimes you end up with nothing. And this was the case with Korah, that he, even though he was a Levite, he was assigned to the daily functions in the tabernacle. But after the Israel rebelled against God, this same guy incited his own mini rebellion. So what he did was he recruited and committed, and they confronted Moses and Aaron. And they had three complaints. And the three complaints were, one, they told Moses that you are no better than we are. Then number two, they said everyone in Israel has been chosen of God. And then number three, they basically said, we don't have to obey you. So if you look at the first two complaints, that was true. They were not, Moses and Aaron was not better than those people of God. And number two, all of God's children are chosen because they are God's people. They were Israelites. But the problem was Korah had the wrong conclusion. He started this. And he started the disturbance because he could not be where he wanted to be. So what he did was he made himself an instigator and got in within the congregation. And you know how the old saying goes. They smile in your faces, and all the time they want to take your places. They know they're called backstabbers. And you know when
right.
people can't have their way because they are jealous of your position or your anointing over your life. So if you look at Numbers 16, 1 through 40, and that whole chapter, I really advise you to go back and read the whole chapter. And you will see that Korah indicted a rebellion against Moses along with 249 co-conspirators. And they was punished for the rebellion when God sent fire down from heaven, and he consumed all 25 of them. But then the two other accomplices
Dothan, and Aram, they was also punished by God, and when the ground split open beneath their feet, it swallowed them, their families, and everybody who was associated with them, including their possessions. But listen, it didn't stop there. The Israelites who didn't like what happened to Korah, Dothan, and Aram, and their families, who objected to Moses and what God has done to them. So God said, since you are going against me, and I'm man of God, and you have a problem with it, what I'm going to do, I'm going to tell Moses to set himself apart from you all. And God smote 14,700 men with a plague for punishment for murmuring against Korah and Aram and Dothan for what they did to God's man. You can look at that in Numbers 16:41-50. And if Moses, now watch this, and if Moses would have not sent Aaron to burn incense before the Lord, more people would have died. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey them that have ruler over you and submit yourselves, for they have watched over your souls, as they may give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable unto you. Now, if they would have read that scripture, they would have known that you can't go against God's man. And so Moses had a heart for the people, and he sent Aaron to go before the Lord and burn incense so that number of 14,700 wouldn't grow. And because he did that, God stopped the plague. So this chapter should teach us how to follow the anointed and not the self-appointed or the instigator. I just want to submit three things to you tonight. What the self-appointed instigator wants to accomplish in the church. They will try to use the newest Christian or the weakest Christian in the church to start rumors or plant seeds of lies. Number two they'll try to do is they would try to rally every man, woman, boy, and girl, whoever is possible to come on their side to make it look like everyone is in agreement with them. And the third one is the main objective is to take over or to be in charge. As we look at the church today, we see this all the time. It's always one or two who really wants to be in charge over the church, but they are not called by God to do or to do so. See, the instigator in this case was in the race for himself and will use anybody, anything to accomplish that mission. Isn't it just like this devil who instigated or tried to instigate Eve to believe that God was holding something back from them? And because she was the weaker vessel, the serpent planted a seed of lies to Eve to get to Adam. But the real plan was is to try to discredit God and take over to become God himself. So we know that Satan was an instigator himself and was trying to be a self-appointed of God and replace him with himself. So we must beware of people we associate ourselves with, those who are looking to praise and glorify themselves instead of giving it all to God. Anytime a person starts talking to you and making comments about the business of the church or the church leaders, you need to step back and ask yourself, is this of God? Or this is a spirit of confusion. See, Korah thought he was supposed to be the man in charge. But the Bible tells me in Romans 8:30, it says, Moreover, whom he did predestinate, who is he, God or Jesus? Them he called. And whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, then he already also glorified. So that means God did the calling. And so the problem with the church or any organization is when we have too many chiefs and not enough enemies. And everybody wants to be the pastor and everybody wants to be in charge. But all we need to know is everybody needs to play their role. See, the Bible says this clearly in 1 Corinthians 12:12-26. It talks about the body of Christ. It talks about the body having many members and every member has an important part to play in the body of Christ. Therefore, I need you, and you need me. I need you to play your part, and I'll play my part. See, there's no such thing of an unimportant person in the church. So these three three gentlemen had the wrong motives. And so what happened is that they got out of their lane. So what I'd like to leave you tonight
is the remedy of defeating the self-appointed instigator. It's called DPP, which is a military term, which is called deferred payment plan. Now, God has his own deferred payment plan, and it's called discernment, prayer, and patience. See, the deferred payment plan through the military means that you can get the goods, pay for it later, and that's the plan. Okay? But God's deferred payment plan is discernment. Discernment defers the problems. Why? Because deferment is the spiritual insight through the Holy Spirit that gives you the ability to know the difference between truth and error, right and wrong. Why? Because the discernment would defer the problem. The discernment would defer the issues going forth. And if you had a pencil with you right now, and I hope you do, I'm going to give you four scriptures. I'm not going to read them, but I'm just going to give it to you to write them down for discernment. 1 Kings 3 and 9. Ezekiel 44 and 23. Malachi 3 and 18. And Hebrews 4 and 12. Just read those four scriptures, and you will see the discernment is happening in those scriptures. The second part of this, of the DPP, is the prayer. The prayer is the payment, because when we pray for the person, we pray for the spirit within the person, because that's what's been used of them to do what they did. See, we have to understand that 1 Timothy 2 and 1 tells us that we should pray for everyone. And so if we didn't pray for them, then we're not doing what God asked us to do. So therefore, Galatians 6 and 1 tells us that, said, brethren, if any man is overtaken in a fault, which he are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, concerning thyself, lest thou also be tempted. What the Bible telling us there, that don't you think that what they did won't happen to you? What we have to do is make sure that we restore them in meekness and bring them back in into the fold. The last part of the plan is patience. See, the plan is to discern, then pray, and then have patience. See, patience allows God's work in his timing. We can't push it. We can't rush it. God has a certain time for everything to happen. Therefore, the payment plan is patience. Hebrews 10 and 36 tells us, we have need of patience, that after we have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. The promise is that he will make everything all right. He will fix everything in his due time. So we have discernment, we have prayer, and then we wait on the patience of God. So we wait on God with patience. So to be honest with you, this whole thing is about that an instigator is really a step away from being a hater. Why? It's because he can't have what he wants. See, I don't know how many times we hear these stories of in the church, church folks started schisms in the body of Christ over some foolishness just because they can't have their way or they don't like the person. God did not call everyone to lead a congregation. We have to be careful who we give our ears to. There are people who just want to use you for a waste dump or waste disposal, and then dump trash on you, and then leave you with the smell. And then you wonder why all are looking at you. So, Corinth, just like as many Christians today, as the old folks would say, he began to smell himself. He thought more highly of himself than he was supposed to. And so the Bible speaks about that. The Bible says, Galatians 6 and 3 says, if a man think of himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Other words, they became arrogant and puffed up. So understand this. God has already set up the fivefold ministry, evangelists, apostles, pastors, teachers. And so he has already, and pastors, and he's already got this in place, and we need to operate in our calling. See, understand this. We are all qualified to witness to others, but not all of us are called to lead or pastor a church. And so we must know our calling in Jesus Christ. He is the one who appoints us, and he's the one who anoints us. See, learn how to stay in your lane. And the problem is, it's just like the world. The world even teaches us in corporate America. there's a flow chart of leadership. We have your CEO, the owner or the president. Sometimes they all three is the same person. You have the vice president, the CFO, the chief finance officer. But everyone has their department, and everyone is ahead of their department. But everyone don't have the same responsibility. See, the problem starts when one person enters in the wrong lane of work, trying to do something they are not capable of or not called to do. For example, the choir director should not be giving instructions to the usher board, and nor the deacons should be telling the choir members what to sing. See, when you do those things, you're out of order. You're not in the will of God. You're not staying in your lane. So if you look at number 16, let's read the whole chapter when you attack. This incident could have been avoided if everyone did what they was assigned to do and left the rest to God. See, where we go and get in trouble with the Lord is when we overstep our boundaries and try to take over what God has already anointed and appointed. You see, there's two things I know for sure. There is a God who has a son named Jesus Christ, and I know I'm not neither one of them. If nothing else, I don't know. I know those two things. And so with that said, we need to understand that God has already placed people in their places and appointed them to do what he called them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the people fell into the wrath of God because they wanted their own way, they was walking around with BK on their forehead, Burger King. They wanted to have it their way. And so they got out of the will of God, and God said, no, we're not doing that. See, listen, Proverbs 21:2 makes it plain. It says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart. To understand, Korah's heart and mind was in the wrong place. Why? It's because he wanted to self-appoint himself, and because he couldn't get where he wanted to be, he thought he had to instigate and grab others to go along with him. But the Bible says in Romans 8:31, he said, "If what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us?" What are the things you're saying? All the corruption, the schism, the instigations, all the schisms that you're trying to bring into the church, anything that is not of God, you're against God. So Moses and Aaron did not have to prove themselves to these three gentlemen and their co-conspirators. But Moses followed the instructions of the Lord, and we see what happened to all those people who went against God and went against Moses. And Moses was being obedient to what God had given him to do. See, if those three gentlemen or those 250 co-conspirators or those 14,700 people, men who was hit with the plague, if they had read 1 Chronicles 16:22, which says, "Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm," those things would never happen to them. Can I give you three examples in the Bible that happened the same thing with Moses and Aaron happened to these other three? Just look at Esther. Esther and Haman. Haman plotted against to destroy all the Jews. But God used Esther to intercede on her people's behalf before the king. And her uncle Mordecai was honored because Haman was hating on him. And then guess what? The king, after he found out what Mordecai did, after Esther did what she did, the king hanged Haman, the instigator. Okay? Yeah. Can I give you another example? Look at Daniel. The Chaldeans, who did not like the Jews because Daniel interpreted the king's dream. And shortly after that, King Nebuchadnezzar promoted Daniel over the whole province of Babylon. Now, that's backwards because they was already in exile and captivity, and Babylon was over them. That's like taking slavery and reversing it. The white man becomes a slave, and the black man becomes the owner. And so Daniel was hated because he was who he was. He was a Hebrew. So the plot was to make everyone bow down the golden image. And here we go. The Chaldeans tried to set it up, knowing that Daniel and the three Hebrew boys was not going to go to do what they asked them to do, which is bow down to the golden image. Well, we know what happened at the end of that story. God came through and rescued all four of them men through the fiery furnace and then not allowed them to burn up, but burned up those who sent those through them in. Let me give you last one.
Look at Job. Job had patience. But we see Satan himself tried to convince God to allow him to afflict Job, to make Job turn against God. And again, we see how that turned out. Job was blessed and was given double for his trouble and beyond measure. Mm-hmm. See, the problem is that we try to do what God is supposed to do and not do what we're supposed to do. And then the other problem is that we don't stand on God's word. We try to fix it on our own time because we don't have patience. And patience will let us know that in due time, the Bible says that in Galatians 6 and 9, it tells us, don't be worrying well doing, because in due season, we will reap if we faint not. So I'm saying, in the future, there are so many Christians who get in trouble because we are out of the will of God. And if you know God, this is the thing I don't think sometimes Christians realize. If we get in trouble and God is on our side and we pray to God and say, Lord, fix this situation, and we know he will come rescue us and fix that situation, why would we go against God's people, as God's people? Don't we know God would do the same thing to us as he done to those who came against us? See, we so quickly forget what we have done, and we want to badger and plunger and put everybody underneath our feet when they do wrong. But as soon as we do something wrong, we want mercy. Isn't that just like people sometimes? We don't want to suffer. God, I messed up. Bless me to get out of this situation. But if as soon as the sister goes out and have a baby and comes back, oh, she was a harlot and she was this. And see, then we want to persecute them and not give them the mercy God given us. Mm-hmm. And so in the future, we must be sure as Christians to govern ourselves to our leadership and to the word of God. We need to be a help and not a hindrance. Either you are a positive Christian or you are a negative Christian. We need to stop trying to play on both sides of the fence. Either you are with God or you're against God. I just want to remind you something. As a couple of weeks ago, Archbishop was just talking about the same thing. As people were coming against certain people in the body of Christ, her prayer was, Lord, don't kill them. And as you see in these scriptures right here, all these things has happened because they was only going on the instructions of God. Moses and Aaron was doing exactly what God had instructed them to do. But the people, because they didn't have what they wanted to have, they didn't want to do what they want, they couldn't do what they wanted to do, they thought just because we come against him and bring a whole bunch of people, they're going to fold. Look what they did. 250 people they brought against 2 men. But again, the Bible says, God be with you, who could it be against you? And so with God, you are the majority. See, if he's on your side, you can't lose because you're standing on God's word. And once God tells you something, you best believe he has to hold up his word because that's what he has to perform his promises, which is his word. See, I just want you to understand something. We don't have to agree with everything leadership says, but we do need to not speak against leadership.
That's right.
So a lot of times when Moses and Aaron was doing, they was getting it strictly from God. Even when Moses went up to see Jesus, to see God, and got the word from him, look what Aaron did earlier in the scripture. So they was playing around the mountain and dancing and making those golden images. And so Moses was doing what God had him to do. As he came back down, he told them, Lord, don't kill them. And he gave him his word. He said, these are your people. Would you not kill them because of one or two? Would you wipe all out the land? Look at what he did with Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, Lord, would you find 50 righteous, 10 righteous, 40 righteous? And if you find two, could you keep them? Not die. See, God is so merciful. And so Moses knew this, and he used God's word. I won't say against him, but he gave God's word back to him. And all Moses was saying, Lord, these are your people. Please don't hurt them. So as I come to a close tonight, if you don't remember anything I say it tonight. Please remember this. When you come against God's called leaders and his people, you are really going against God himself. You, the Bible says you might well tie a millstone around your neck and throw yourself over the ocean. Because you're writing your own death certificate. And like, again, if you don't agree, it's okay to agree to disagree, but you can't put your mouth on the man of God or the woman of God, especially when they are doing what God asked them to do. So, saints tonight, be encouraged to just understand that God has placed the leaders in position for a reason. He didn't call you because you didn't answer the phone. He didn't call you because he was too busy on three-way. So now, tonight, if God has called you to do a certain task, if God has already called you to do something in the kingdom of God, go forth and do just that. Don't worry about the 249 co-conspirators. Don't worry about those two or three who bring accusations against you and try to have you believe that what you are doing is not God's work because what you see has not performed or has came to fruition at this time. Again, if you don't remember anything I say tonight, do not go against God's leaders and his people because you are truly going against God himself. I hope you got a word tonight. I hope it's an encouragement to you that you know my God gave you an appointed duty, an appointed assignment that you was anointed to do so, and he will see you through it at any cost at all times. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. What a word. Amen. Follow the anointed and not the self-appointed. Amen. That's a great word.
Amen.
Because you can get in trouble following the wrong crowd.
Mm-hmm.
They say bad company corrupt good manners.
Good communication.
And,
that's right.
They always tell me that you're judged by the company you keep.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful who you follow. And we try to stress to our young people today that even if you don't, you don't do weed, you don't do all this stuff, but you hang with folks who does it, if they in the act of doing something, guess what? You're going to be found guilty just like them. We have a situation where a young kid went along with his friends, and they went and robbed somebody. And the person, one of their friends got killed going to somebody's house. Guess what? They're charged with murder.
That's right.
And so it's bad. They're charged with murder because they were part of it. So it's bad to be know who you're following. Don't follow the wrong folks. You got to follow somebody who is led by God. And I'm telling you, this is a good word for us to know
amen.
That our leaders, amen, we ought to know our leaders are following God. And when they're following God, whatever they say, we got to know it's coming from God.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't trust your leader, ain't no use of you being under them. You don't trust them,
amen.
Ain't no under them. And a lot of people see leadership as so, you know, the anointing and the grace of God make things look so easy.
Yes.
They think pastoring and being a bishop and being over this great organization that like what we have, it looks so easy because God's grace, but they don't know, man. It's just like a duck on the water. A swan, they're looking pretty on the top of the water, boy, but underneath that water, them little foot kicking. Them little feet going 100 miles a minute, but you don't see that. So that's just like leadership. You don't see the stuff and the, oh, my God, the demonic spirits that they have to fight on a regular basis. I mean, from even the people who they're helping. And so people look at leadership and see how smooth it looks on the outside and see how, oh, they're driving this, oh, they're living like this. But you don't know the price they had to pay to do that. And so I see what you had, and I'm probably missing one of them. You have instigators and haters. What's the other one?
No. I said the instigator is really a step away from being a hater.
Okay.
The same.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you sure right about that. Amen. And it's bad to be around people. Don't be around people who want to start confusion and get into all different things. The Bible say whatever things are lovely, whatever things are pure, whatever things have good report, whatever things have virtue, think on these things. So you want to be around the people who thinking like that. You don't want somebody who's thinking, oh, why are they doing this? Oh, we ought to do this. If somebody's led by God, you ain't going to always understand what they're doing. Because when God tell you to do some stuff, you ain't going to understand it. How many times God will tell us to do stuff that we like, I ain't got no money, I ain't got this, I can't do this. But if you know it's God, you're going to go along with it. So you're not going to understand everything the leadership does. But if you got to trust them that they're following God and you pray about it, God will give you peace to know that, hey, this is me. Don't worry about the end of it. Don't try to figure it out, because God don't work on our intellect, our knowledge. He's supreme. And so he works on the supernatural. We just work on the natural, but God works on the supernatural. So we see we have a whole bunch of callers out here tonight. If you want to comment on this word tonight, or you want prayer, you want to give a praise report, press one on your phone, and we'll bring you live, amen, so you can talk to this man of God
amen.
With his great word tonight. Follow the anointed and not the self-appointed.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Press one on your phone and we'll bring you live.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. This is so great, amen, that we have to know, amen, and that God has a leader assigned for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's
yes.
not going to be our leader. Every now that everybody can't lead us. And so God has placed us where we need to be. And sometimes it may not be for a long term. It can be just for, because like the world, I know it's a healing place. Because I
yes.
came there broken. I told this testimony before. I was in so many pieces, all the king horses, and all the king men couldn't put me together. The light of the world did it, and put the love that they had put me together. So there's a place of healing, and so everybody's not going to stay there. And it's about equipping people, healing people, and dispatching people. And so we thank God that many churches have been started from people who came and through the light of the world, and God is doing great things throughout the world from people who started there, who got healed there, who got delivered there. And so, but you can't try to go beyond your leader. I mean, who would want to be above their leader? That's crazy.
Sometimes Butterfield, but you
yes,
know,
sir.
You, just like you were saying earlier, what gets me is when we get a word from God
uh-huh.
and we tell people, God told me to do so and so, we want everybody to believe us and follow us.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as we get the word from someone else and we don't agree with it, oh, that must not be of God. Well, God didn't tell you to do that. He told you to follow whomever God has placed you in. And if that was the case, you need to start your own church.
There you go.
And so many churches are out there because they have split up and went separate ways because of just foolishness. They crying and fighting over the color of the church. They can't decide on what robes they want to wear or what color they want to have the anniversary date on. And so we lose more time, and churches fall out and split over denomination, money, power, and this. I'm just anointed. You are. It said it right in the scripture. He said that you are no better than that we are. And we all are holy. But Moses told him, said, listen, we're going to see who God chose and who is holy. He said, look at this. You have to go back and read the whole chapter. He said, if God do something unexpectedly, you would know that these men are not called by God. If these men die a normal death, then you know they're just anointed I am. But what God do? God opened up the ground beneath them. That's not an ordinary death. And swallowed
right.
them alive.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something unpredictable that happened. And right then when he said it, it happened.
That's right. That's right.
So therefore we had to know that these people that God has put in these places. See, that's what I learned a long time ago. You have all these pastors and preachers on the radio and on the TV. All of them are not doing God's work. But do you think I speak against what they do? I just say, Lord, if it's not hitting my spirit, I turn the channel, and that's all
that's
you got to
right.
do.
That's it.
Because
that's it.
And I'm going to say this, so I'm going to get a caller come on in, if we got a caller. This is the thing. The only way you're going to know that they are speaking the truth, you got to know the word for yourself.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you know the word
that's
for yourself,
you will know that it's been rightly divided, the word of God.
Amen.
That's right.
And you know, right now, there's big talk about Kanye West.
Mm-hmm.
He made a distinction that he's not going to do any more rhythm and blues, no more hip-hop, no more. Everything he's going to do is going to gospel. And he called a preacher up during one of his events and had him preach a sermon. And they talking about, what do you think about Kanye West? I mean, Kanye West might be able to reach people we would never reach. And
hello?
It don't matter if he's right or wrong. If he ever speak the word of God, it's the word of God. It ain't him that's doing the deliverance anyway.
That's right.
And so if he wants to go and do that, I mean, I pray that he is a committed Christian and God has changed his life. But if he don't,
yes,
we gotta pray that God will, in the process of doing what he's doing, God will get to him. Because you can't be around the word too long and not get impacted by the word.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And so we can't start people by their past life, because we all got a past.
But you know the saying is God chooses, and God uses who he chooses.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know who God may choose. God spoke to a donkey to save a man's life, didn't he?
Come on.
And so God can use any type of God can use anything to speak to us to get us to understand what he wants us to be.
That's right.
And so we can't worry about how or who the messenger is. We need to be concerned of the message.
Yes, that's it. The message is that's it. Because when the postman bring your bill, You ain't paying him.
No.
You can't get upset with him for him bringing the bill. He's just doing his job. So you got to call the company and find out what this bill means. But he's not responsible for what that bill say. That's why I still see it. So when you get a message from the Lord, you got to see God. You got to see God about that. You can't see the preacher.
Mm-hmm.
You can't complain about,
No,
you got to get back to the word, and we got to study to show ourselves approved.
Yeah.
A workman that we'd not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth by, not waiting for some preacher to tell you what the word say.
Mm-hmm.
He only could confirm what the word say. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know what it say, you won't understand it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
So
he's talking about me. He's preaching on me.
Huh?
I said, they be saying, oh, he's talking about me, or he's preaching on me. No, he did just preaching the word of God. And the word will find you.
He'll get you. He'll find you. It's sharper than the FBI and the CIA and all of them. He'll find
right.
you. Amen. Mm. So we see we don't have anybody that press one, so we want you to give our last final comment and then close it out in prayer, and we'll be ready to go.
Yes, sir. So... I just want the people to be encouraged. If God has given you an assignment and God has given you instructions on how to carry out a certain thing, it could be anything. It could be about your job, your relationships, who you're dealing with, what the next car to buy, anything. If you seek the Lord first, the Bible says, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. All the other things will be added unto you. And so I'm learning now that, okay, God, all this other stuff don't even matter anymore. Because if I ain't got you, I ain't got nothing. I just got stuff. I just got things. So when we understand that what God wants us to have is him, and he'll bless us with desires of our hearts according to his riches and glory. And when we get in the will of God, a lot of stuff that we think that we really want, we don't really need. Because when God fills that void, he's giving you all that you need, and you won't want no more. The song says, fill me up till I don't want no more. I want to run over. Well, God is saying the same thing in his word. Just do my will, and you will be blessed. Just stay in line and proceed on what God has given you to do. And he will show you down the line. If you would take the step. See, a lot of times we want God to take the first five steps, and we'll take one and a half.
Right.
But God has already took the first step in telling you what he needs you to do. The second step should be obedience.
Amen.
And don't think for 1 second I've done everything right, because I'm telling you, I know when the Lord says don't do it, and I know the results of it. Because what he would do is he would show you where you're wrong, and at the same time bless you in your messed up mess.
Mm-hmm.
He would say, listen, because of this, I'm going to delay this blessing 2 months. I'm going to still give it to you, but you might not have as much as you'd have got.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the same time, God is so merciful, and his grace is so abound in our lives. We have to remember, if God said it, he's going to do it. If God has given it to you, then you should perform it.
Right.
So, again, tonight, I hope you all have got a word tonight. Just be mindful that you are on the Lord's side, and God
Amen.
Got your back.
Amen.
Let us pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. Lord, we thank you again for allowing to use your people, Father, for the glory of you, that you will get all the honor and the praise. Father, there's anyone in the sound of my voice tonight, Lord, who don't know you and a part of this thing. Or, Father, having an issue with something going on in their life, Father, show them how to seek you first. Show them how to come to you, Lord, with your issues. And like the Bible says, lay all their burdens upon you, and that you would take care of them and see us through. Father God, we thank you right now for tonight, Lord. We thank you for those who are listening tonight. Lord, we ask you to bless them in a mighty way, Lord, that you would bless them, that they would know that they are the righteous of God. And we'll continue to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
What a word, what a word. Amen. We want you
Amen.
To tune in on next Saturday at 8 p.m. Amen. To the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen Ann Butterfield. Go to our website. Amen. Check us out, www.butterfieldsministriesworldwide.com. Look at our marriage conference on March 27th and 28th in 2020. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. God is going to bless.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It's going to be based on my book. Amen. And we have a series going on, Marriage Utopia. Please look out for that. And just continue to pray with us that God would use us in a mighty way in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We thank God for all of you. And every Saturday at 8 p.m., tell your neighbors and your friends to dial 917-388-4161 to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen
and
Ann Butterfield.
Have a great night.